We are live here, Jesse and I, and we just thought, hey, you know, let's just shoot the crap for a while. And we don't have any agendas tonight. We don't have any craziness going on. We just want to get, you know, and get on here and do what I'm best at, and that's rambling. And so you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Jesse?
Oh, hey, you're the expert, sir. You're an expert rambler. I think that's on your resume, if I remember correctly.
That's right, Ronnie. You have nothing of worth to say.
20 years of great rambling experience. Please hire me as your PR consultant.
Oh, man. Jesse just said I had nothing worth
anything. Come on, Ronnie. No, you know better. You know better.
I know.
So we're not going to – we don't have nothing scheduled. We're just going to – we're just going to talk about – now, you mentioned Iron Fist. I mean, you want to go ahead and – get in that or what?
That is a man, you're opening up a can of worms there, man. Because I've got some things to say. I just actually finished the series. I don't know if I got to tell you that or not.
No.
Yeah, I finished all 13 episodes. I have an insane crush on Colleen Wing. She is absolutely phenomenal in that show, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So how far are you in this
episode? I think I want to say episode 8 is the next one, or I just finished episode 8. But Colleen and her sensei just helped. I'm trying to think of a way to talk about this without spoiling anything, but basically they just took off and they are helping. They're helping Danny Rand in some way. At least that's what they make it seem like. Mm. It's almost like they kidnapped him, but you're like, well, wait a second. No, that may not be the case. But anyway, that's where I'm at. So episode 8 going into episode 9.
Right. Yeah.
This is a show that I've been able to watch with my wife. As a matter of fact, you know, we were planning on getting on here at 9:40 or 9:30, and it was like 10 till 9, maybe 9:45, 9:20, something like that. Anyway, I said, look, I might be able to talk Ronnie Adams into letting me watch a show with you for a little bit, and then we'll do a podcast. And she's like, well, I want to watch Iron Hand. I said, Iron Hand. I said, baby, Iron Hand's an hour. We're going to have to watch the last episode or the most recent episode of Legion. So, because that's like 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes less. I think it's like 50 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you anyway, anything you wanted.
That's right. She was like, okay, we'll do Legion.
Mindy wants to watch Iron Hand. You can.
Let's watch Iron Hand. It's like, okay. And she's continued to call it Iron Hand over and over.
I love the intro.
Shows up every single time, and it says
Iron Fist.
But hey, whatever. It's a show that she likes to watch with me, which is actually very cool. That one. She really digs that. We've made our way. I think me and her have watched every single Marvel series that's come on Netflix. Cool, it's always been me and her usually going through it. So, and I think this might be her favorite so far. She's really seemed invested in this one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you think of – I mean, you could see our friends, you know, Mark and everybody else there online is talking about how the critics really crapped all over this show.
Oh, there are so – okay. So Iron Fist. Let's talk about this a little bit. Iron Fist is the new Marvel. If you'd have to be living under a rock not to realize that this is the new Marvel property, you know, the new Marvel series. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are a pop culture nerd podcast, so
right.
People who listen to us are aware that it is, you know, that's what show it is. So far, we've seen Daredevil, we've seen Jessica Jones, we've seen Luke Cage. They've all been excellent in their own ways. Daredevil just blew everybody out of the water. I mean, let's be honest. People were not expecting this, you know, to be as good as it was.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. So it's one of those things where you have a certain stigma that you have to live up to when you say you're starting a Marvel property, of being good, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, I think I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of people are just looking for Marvel to fail, on something, on some level, some way. And this was, you know, this was kind of this is the one everybody's picking out because, it's the one that, not many people knew anything about the actual character. I mean, I hate to say it, but Iron Fist is kind of a, obscure character to most. Now, to a comic book fan, not so much, but to your average just Marvel movie fan, you know, Marvel's made gained some fandom, just to, you know, from Marvel, you know, cinematic alone. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom doesn't read comic books, but she loves those movies. My dad would not pick up, you know, he like I've said before, he has supported me in the past of, you know, reading comic books and things like that. But I don't think he would ever pick up a comic book and read it, you know, just because it's a comic book. But it's gained some fans because of that. And like I said, I think somebody, you know, people are just looking for Marvel to fail, and where this was the little known character, this was the one that everybody was going to pick on. I really feel that. So with that being said, there were some negative, very, very negative, reviews that came out before anybody even saw this freaking show. I remember reading, you know, and I'll be the first to say that I don't trust IGN as far as I could throw them with a lot of different things, and, you know, and I know we're pretty public, and if anybody from IGN hears this, I don't care. I don't really listen to your game reviews that much. I don't listen to your movie reviews that much because there has been more than enough. There have been more than a few games and movies that you all have crapped on that I've absolutely loved, and there's been, you know, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So what I read with a lot of the different reviews that were coming out, there was they had a problem with the character of Danny Rand himself and who was playing him. Danny Rand is a billionaire. Well, his family, you know, he was a rich kid.
Yeah.
And his family went to, was taking a trip to China, if I'm not mistaken. Their plane goes down. His parents are killed, and it leaves him, you know, stranded on this mountain where he's rescued by some monks, and he's taken to the mystical land of Kunlun. And he's raised there for the next 15 years as a kid, and he's taught he's taught kung fu, he's become a master of martial arts, and he also has become the immortal weapon, the Iron Fist, and he is sworn to protect Kunlun from anybody coming. You know, he's protected. You know, if the way to Kunlun is open because it exists on another dimension, on another plane. If it's open, he has to protect it. He's a sworn enemy of a clan of ninjas called the Hand.
The Hand, which that was kind of out of left field for me. Of course, you know, we did our Iron Fist, the Living Weapon on Source Material, and I don't think they were mentioned at all in that.
No,
that
they were not. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I don't know if. What I'm wondering now is if that's actually in comic book lore or if that's just made up for the show to connect all of them together.
I think it's – I can't remember. There's so much that's happened and there's so much that's going on in the comic books. But it's really cool because one of the more prominent members of the Hand is Elektra.
Yes.
And so we just saw her – in Daredevil. So it's coming together with all these different characters and all these different shows. So it's really neat to see see the glue that binds all these characters and these shows together. Mm-hmm. So, so we've got the hand, we've got Danny Rand, who is, blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, kid from New York. He, after he, you know, he becomes Iron Fist, the, you know, the living weapon, he goes back to New York to find out who killed his parents and, you know, seek vengeance or justice or retribution or whatever you want to say. One of the things that came up, that one of the main problems that people had with this was that they did not get an Asian American actor to play Danny Rand.
Yeah.
Which I understand diversity. I get that. You know, we have a new Hulk. The new Hulk is the totally awesome Hulk in comic books, and he is Korean. So that, you know, we had a new Captain. Well, he's still Captain America. We had a Captain America who was African American for a while. He still is Captain America. You know, there's two Captain Americas. One of them, Steve Rogers, and one of them, Sam Wilson, who was known as the Falcon. And you know, there's all kinds of. But there were a lot of negative reviews without even seeing the show first, saying that this show was crap because, you know, Danny Rand's white. And I don't understand that. You know, I've watched the show. I've watched every episode of it, and I absolutely love this show.
Yeah.
Now there's some hokey moments in it. I get that. There are a fair share of like, okay, you know, that's kind of off the wall. Then I just realized this is the equivalent of a kung fu movie, you know, of your old, you know, 60s, 70s kung fu movies, which were by every stretch of the means hokey.
Yeah, you know, they were not cinematic masterpieces.
No, not at all. Is Iron Fist a cinematic masterpiece? Absolutely not. But it is a lot of fun.
That's right.
It stays true to the source material, in my opinion. Uh-huh. And it's as far as I can tell, I haven't read a whole lot of Iron Fist, unfortunately. But, you know, it stays true to that. And it's Colin Wing. You know, the character of Colleen Wing is, you know, is just absolutely, she's a strong female character who is just an incredible actress, you know, playing an incredible part. Of course, you've got, I can't remember her name, but we pretty much dubbed her Night Nurse, but Rosario Dawson.
Claire Templeton.
Claire Templeton. Rosario Dawson just does a fantastic job no matter what. Mm-hmm. So we've got so many positives in this. We have to make up a negative on something.
Yeah, I remember when we started discussing our upcoming expectations for the show, and I talked about my reservations of it being horrible, and what a horrible show could do to more shows later on down the line. Of course, Mark Radulich made sure to set me right by saying, well, hey, don't worry. There's 9,000 other things that are probably going to come out of the comic book universe that'll show up on either the big screen or the small screen. But regardless, mm-hmm. I had those fears because these critics were slamming this thing so bad. And then we get into watching the show, and I'm sitting there, I can pull out bad things, but I'm not seeing anything that's making this horrible in any way.
Right.
There's got to be some really, really big mess ups in order for me to go, this thing is unwatchable.
Awful. Yeah. Yeah.
I've not even seen anything like that show up in this series where I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I think strong performances have been given. Mm-hmm. The gentleman who plays, have you gotten to Davos yet?
No, Davos has not showed up yet.
Okay. So, well, he has the actor that plays Davos gives a really strong performance. Bakudo is Colleen Wing's sensei in this.
Yeah, okay. And so that's – yeah. And what's funny is I'll watch these shows, and I know I've said this before in the past, but I'll watch them with the captions on.
Yeah.
Because I have kids, and if they're in the same room, there's no hope of even trying to make out what the actors and actresses are saying. Therefore, right. You have to specifically rely. But what's funny is I'll be watching that, and somebody will be like this mysterious character, but the captions like make sure to like label his name there so you know that he's speaking, and you're like, oh, that's who that dude is. And they don't even get into it in the story. But anyway, yeah, Kabuto. I remember him showing up on the captions. Was like, who's this guy?
Bakuto.
What is it?
Bakuto.
Bakuto. There you go.
Yeah, you said Kabuto.
Kabuto's the tractor, isn't it?
I think so. But Bakuto, I mean, he, like, phenomenal character. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, there's a lot of the fight scenes. I've read where people don't like the fight scenes. To me, they seem a little more realistic because it's not. I say that with tongue in cheek.
Yes,
but it's, you know, I watching a lot of martial arts movies and watching and having taken martial arts long time ago.
Ooh, I'm not even going to say
karate.
Did you? Okay. So did I, man. Yeah.
Nice.
I made it up to green belt. And yeah. I'll tell you right now, I took it for 2 years, and it was probably some of the best 2 years of my life, really. I mean,
man.
I learned so much, probably, you know, I hope someday to get my son into something like that because he needs discipline. And I went there with my two best friends and I was like, man, what am I getting myself into? And really I enjoyed it. We had a great Sensei Scott, who it was combat karate, so it was more about self-defense, and that was really the focus on it. But yeah, I made my way up to green belt. I watched my buddies get up to blue, and then guess what? We got jobs and life happened and mommy and daddy weren't paying for it anymore. So we had to,
we had to get out
of that. But anyway, by the way,
sensei moved.
Just real quick, Kabuto, that's a Pokemon. My bad.
Ah, yeah. Okay. There we go.
All right. Go ahead.
Sorry. That makes sense. my sensei moved away, which is why I couldn't continue on, I mean, I could have gone somewhere else, but it just, you know, once you get used to somebody, you're kind of like, man, you're not my teacher. So, which was lame to do, but you know, that's kind of why I got out of it. You know, we really, really, really liked him. So, I mean, you're not always going to be like flying through the air, Bruce Lee style, even Bruce Lee, even his movies could be considered, you know, a lot of people would consider them boring today. Because you're used to the Jackie Chan fights, you're used to the you know, of flip flop flying everywhere, and which I get, which are a lot of fun. But this is like these fight scenes flow, you know, and what they do make a lot of sense, you know, to incapacitate your opponent. Yeah, thank you. My goodness, what is wrong with me tonight? Thank you. To incapacitate your opponent before he kills you. So, you know, I get what they're trying to do with some of it. At least I think that's what they're trying to do. But that was the major complaint that, you know, the casting of Danny Rand. But I've thoroughly enjoyed every episode, you know, and I'm a pretty harsh critic when it comes to stuff. I hate 90% of the X-Men movies. I say 90%. It's more like 40% because of – I'm not a big fan of X2. It was good. But the first X-Men, you know, Logan was just out of this world.
Yeah.
Wolverine Origins, X-Men Origins Wolverine was okay. But then when you got to the not Deadpool part, that just sucked. X3 doesn't exist. So, you know, I'm pretty harsh. And if you've ever heard my thoughts on the newest Fantastic Four reboot, I usually try to keep a more positive, upbeat tone. There is no positivity in that soul-sucking abomination of a movie.
I've yet to watch it. I could watch it anytime I wanted. If I wanted to watch it right now, I would. But I'm absolutely afraid of watching that because I don't want to get upset.
It's just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Anyway, I try not to be, but I've read comic books for 30 years, mm-hmm. Or however long I've read it. But I try not to be, but I can be a pretty harsh critic on stuff. So I don't find anything really wrong with this series, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed, there's Stan Lee cameos in it that nobody catches. I'll spoil it for you. You've probably already seen him, Jesse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on a poster. He's on a police poster. He's a policeman. He's dressed in the uniform, and it's like, that's how he's appeared in all the Marvel series.
Hmm.
In the background on a poster, neighborhood, help us, help us fight crime, keep your eyes open, Policeman's League, donate money or whatever.
He's always the guy you got to save in the Lego games, though.
Yeah. Well, this is him. He's the model police officer in these posters.
Nice.
So, and there's a lot of references to the incident in New York, which was, the Chitauri, in Avengers. There, it's just, the devil of Hell's Kitchen, man with unbreakable skin. They mentioned all these people and they were kind of tying them together. So we're going to get a Defender series soon.
Oh, and I think we've heard, I've got a count of 2 Sweet Christmases.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And which is phenomenal, which was my favorite catchphrase in the Marvel Universe. Next to It's Clobbering Time. So I don't get I just don't understand. It's just like I said the other night on, I think it was Source Material, where people are so ready to stand for something that they'll fall for anything.
That's right.
They want to find something wrong with this when there is nothing wrong with it. They, in my opinion, it's just part of his backstory. If you're so against a billionaire Caucasian man being a ninja or being a martial arts master, they go after Batman too. Oh, you didn't think of that, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Go after Batman. Go after Tony Stark. Go after all these heroes that you think, that you don't think twice about. But, as you can tell, this really aggravates me. Because I found an article the other day, I think it was on AMP or something, I was just going through reading some news, that said literally why the creators of Iron Fist are racist pieces of crap or trash.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, whoa, you cannot, you can because it's your opinion and it was labeled as opinion in the article, but I can't find it anymore, so apparently they've taken it down. I mean, you can't, I'm trying my hardest not just to go off on a rant and then receive letters or emails or anything. But you can't cry wolf when there is no wolf in the house.
That's right. That's right.
So, but to the positives of Iron Fist. Jesse, give me some positives that you have found in Iron Fist.
Okay. Well, no, I already mentioned one, and that is being able to watch that with my wife, who enjoys the show as well. This isn't something that's so entrenched in Marvel lore, and I was worried about the whole martial arts thing. Came across just fine. I enjoy a good kung flu. You don't ever want to catch
that. I was going to say that sounds like a
it's a bad virus,
a bad sickness. Yeah,
you get the kung flu, and then I'm always up for a good kung fu movie, but my wife, yeah. I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence, but there's enough of the other stuff in this show that keeps her interested. So that's easy. Positive. Number two, I think that I enjoy the story in itself, being, this guy who comes back from, you know, being out of New York for 15 years and coming back and trying to reacclimate himself. And there's a lot of, you know, pretty humorous stuff that happens because, you know, he's not exactly, you know, street level material here. When he first shows up, I mean, he can whoop your butt, but for Pete's sake, you know, he's street smarts. You're not going to catch those too much in the alternate dimension paradise of Kun Loon. So, but I enjoy Danny Rand as a character, even though we really kind of tore him apart, or I should say Danny Rand, the guy who's playing Danny Rand. We tore
Finn Jones.
We tore him apart on source material for the comments he made about Trump apparently having a, don't get Ronnie started. But regardless, I've enjoyed the way he's portrayed him. I'm trying to think like the best character, and I know you've said Colleen Wing, so maybe I can't use Colleen.
You use whoever you want.
I'm trying to think if I was really on the fence with the guy that played I can't remember the character's name, but what's the young kid that was the CEO of the company of Rand Incorporated, and he's a real jerk all the time. And he's
Ward.
I didn't know I didn't think I would like that guy at first. I didn't like him, the actor that played him. I thought, boy, he really rubbed me the wrong way in the beginning. But then he started to develop. They did a good job of developing where we're at right now. They really did. So I think character development, in my opinion, was probably one of the strong suits, especially with that character there. Take a character that I really didn't like and make me actually, you know, be invested in this guy.
Just wait.
I can't wait, man. So let's see what else is good in there. I mean, you don't get an overabundance of the power, which is, I think, the powers, which is important. You know, because he can't use this thing all the time. It's not like this
man
just rolls around, runs around and punching things left and right with his glowing fist. It's it's a way of giving somebody a power with a very what's the word, like not, he's kind of hamstrung by that
large limitation.
There you go, a limitation to using it. But hey, he's trained for 10 or 15 years there in Kun Loon, and he is a martial arts master. So it's cool to see the fights. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do that, man. Anybody can train and become a good fighter. So that kind of brings it down home for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm very pleased with the fact that I've enjoyed this. I mean, when we talked Luke Cage, mm-hmm. I said that Luke Cage was probably the worst of the Marvel series that I'd seen so far. And I was really thinking that this would be down there at the bottom and pushing Luke Cage up one, but I don't think so. I've enjoyed this one enough to where I still think Luke Cage is down there for me. And that might be personal opinion because they really did a stylized way of telling that story, similar to kind of like what they did with this. Although this seems a bit more straightforward than Luke Cage and you know, the cultural impact that all that had. This one seems more straightforward to me. Like, they didn't really invest a whole stylized cultural way of telling the story. You just have those elements of that culture in the story itself. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm digging it. I can't wait to finish it. I cannot wait till these things come together as something. If there's one thing that I wish that these series would do is intermingle some more. I mean, I know you guys are building up to the big climactic Avengers deal where they, you know, we told everybody's story in a movie and now we're going to bring them all together in a big movie. We're going to do similar with all these characters and amongst these street level shows that we're watching, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Daredevil. But I would love to see more of the characters just kind of, the Punisher's in here for an episode.
I wonder, one shots.
I wonder if
in comic book speak.
Exactly. I wonder if the, you know, the producers or showrunners of the show are just like, no, we want this to be mainly focused on Iron Fist, Danny Rand, and the characters that he mainly interacts with it would be in his book. And then we turn him loose. So if that's the case, then I understand that, because now we have a better knowledge base of who all these characters are. But, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Ward's probably not going to be in any way, shape, or form in the Defender series. So all these ancillary characters,
probably that not, yeah.
All these characters that we're getting used to are not going to be showing back up at some point. If they are, it's just going to be a one-shot appearance that will feel, I don't know. It'll just kind of feel like, okay, well, there's that person that really didn't matter. It's not going to matter much to this story, but we got him in here. I'd rather it be the other way around, where they're like, oh, here's the Punisher, and yeah, he's screwing things up for an episode or two, and figure that into the character development. But
absolutely.
That's probably what I'd love to see from the show. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm watching Iron Fist all the way through.
Good, man. I you know, it's really good to hear some positive things about it. And I know Mark and a few others have had some good positive things to say about it. But it's, there's not much wrong with this show. I mean, you could be picky and you can pick it apart and you could say, oh, well, this didn't look good and this, you know, this didn't work and all. But why? I mean, it's a fun show that, you know, that lets you escape reality for a little while and live in a fantasy world of martial arts and mystical weapons and just, you know, let you live out that comic book fantasy. To me, seeing all these comic book characters come to life and done well has been, you know, just brings my childhood to life. You know, I mean, my childhood to life. That's stupid. it brings my childhood, those childhood characters to life, and it's a source of joy for me because, you know, for the longest time, you know, if you got a comic book movie, it was kind of lame.
Yeah,
you know, you think back to the original Fantastic Four movie that was made and never saw the light of day, mainly because it was made only to keep the rights of it, the filming rights. So that's exactly why it was filmed, because they had the filming rights, they wanted to keep them, so they made this movie and knowing that no one would ever see it. So you kind of got jilted out of that. So, you know, to see Captain America, the Punisher. Oh my gosh, we got a good Punisher movie.
Yeah, dude.
You know,
an actual good representation of the Punisher.
Not
the
movie,
screen.
But we got a good I won't lie, I enjoyed the Thomas Jane movie, The Punisher. John Travolta, for what it's worth, he was a decent villain, but you could have gotten a little, you know, the whole story was wonky to me. Yeah, killing not just his wife and kids, but his entire family on a beach. When everybody who's a Punisher fan knows that his wife and kids were killed in the park. They were caught in a crossfire of a gang war, you know, and so they were caught in a crossfire. They were shot down. He became the Punisher to put an end to all this crime, and so the Thomas Jane movie, his dad, his mom, his cousins, his uncles, and everybody were mercilessly, they were just massacred on this beach. And he comes back, he's all right, now I'm the Punisher. I'm like, dude, you should be in a loony bin by now watching all these people die. but it was really cool, I mean, you know, because you got to see some of the more obscure parts of the Punisher series come to life. You got to see Mr. Bumpo, Claire, and a few others that were, you know, Spacker Dave, all these characters that were just, you know, kind of one-offs, they brought him, you know, brought him to life for this, for the movie. The Russian, who was played by Kevin Nash, who was very talkative in the comics, but because apparently Kevin Nash can't do a Russian accent, they said, you know what, let's just have him be silent. And I mean, that was probably for the best, but you know, no offense against Kevin Nash, he did a great job as being the Russian, but a little tidbit about that, he actually got stabbed in, you know, filming the movie.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, so. And he didn't complain. He wanted to finish. He was like, well, I don't want to lose this part, so I better not tell them that I was stabbed. Yeah. What the heck? But so it was okay. And I remember when the first Punisher movie came out with Dolph Lundgren, we won't even talk about that because it was Dolph Lundgren.
It's been so long since I've watched that. Yeah. Somebody was talking about the plot of that movie a few days back, and I was like, I don't even remember.
There was a plot?
I do not. Somebody had said if he would have just wore the skull on his shirt. And I was like, I don't even remember that being a thing. I don't remember that at all. Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that. I can't believe that I would have probably had the same gripe had I watched it and remembered it. But shoot.
Yeah, I don't remember that either, to be honest with you. But, it, you know, I mean, I like Dolph Lundgren, you know, especially in like the Expendables, and you know, I've watched a few of his more B related movies, I guess you could say, and had fun with those. But it was just not a good movie, you know, and so it wasn't a fair representation of that character. The closest, in my opinion, that we've ever got was Ray Stevenson in Punisher Warzone.
I am right now, as a matter of fact, I am looking up. We did this. I can't believe we did this in October. There's no way. Oh. Well, that was around Halloween. Anyway, I went over to Kapow and we rated.
Yeah.
The top. I hung out with the guys on the Kapow podcast and we rated the top 52. Comic book movies, and I was just curious as to where I put Punisher Punisher Warzone? What was it called? The one
Punisher Warzone.
Was it Warzone? Okay, because I had the Punisher 2. I had Punisher 2 ranked 24th, and Thomas Jane Punisher was, man, it had to have been just around there. No, I guess I had it higher. I thought I would have had Punisher 2 higher than that. I had Punisher 2 at 24 and the Thomas Jane at the Thomas Jane one at 11, which that's, I disagree with that. I'm going to go back and slap myself. I don't know, dude. No. You know what? That is incorrect. What is going on here is
was it the other way around? No,
he has them listed by date. And of course the Thomas Jane one came
out. Oh, okay.
So I'm going to find my ranking.
But anyway, Warzone, yeah.
Yep. It came out 4 years later. I've got the ranking. I know I've got it saved here. So let me see if I can pull this up and take a look. This was November 2nd. Here we go. All right. Jesse's rank for the Punisher 2 was 26th out of, this is out of 52 movies. Regular Punisher, 37. So yeah, I had it. I had the Thomas Jane Punisher down at number 37, way 13 spots lower than our Warzone. So I liked Warzone, as if you couldn't tell. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that I remember watching that one and the brutality made me smile. I mean, I was like, this is the Punisher. This is what I needed. And people crap all over that one. And for some reason I dug it. And this is one I watched on a freaking, I don't know, it was like a 16-inch computer screen. So it's not like I had a home theater system and a DVD to watch this on. I was making my way through. I still enjoyed it even with the limitations that I had. So I liked it.
Yeah.
That's a tangent. That's what we call a tangent, Ronnie.
And that's I'm okay with that.
That's all right.
It was what it was. It was a Punisher movie. It was brutal. It was him taking on the world, you know, taking on the mafia. It did what it was supposed to do. Mm. That's why I enjoyed it. But I forgot where we were going with all this.
Derailed.
Yeah, that's all right. This is a bullcrap episode where we didn't have any, you know, we really didn't have any agenda or anything.
We're talking about watching our characters come to life on the
screen. Oh, yeah.
So
we haven't had fair representation of all these characters. When the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man hit, you know, there was some obvious craziness, you know, the organic web shooters, there was just different things with that, that it was just like, I don't think I like that very much, but I'll allow it because this is actually a pretty good,
Spider-Man movie. Yes, it's a decent movie that we haven't had the opportunity to really see Spider-Man on the big screen and actually, and make us happy, you know, make a decent movie.
The Spider-Man 2 came out, and you got to see Doc Ock on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Alfred Molina did a phenomenal job as Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. I thought he did great. And so we had that, and it was, you know, it was still pretty good. And then Spider-Man 3 came out and ruined everything. but, you know, emo Spider-Man.
You did hear that they're going to have a Venom movie. At least that's been pitched, right? I'm fairly certain. Yeah, I think it's at least Sony is really pushing for a Venom movie here coming soon. Let me take a look.
Hopefully, it'll be a reboot.
I'm certain that it's got to be. Could Sony's Venom movie tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
One could hope.
The guys that were. I want to throw this theory out here. I don't know. Again, you know, from the Kapow podcast, I was listening to it today. You know that movie that's going to be having Jake Gyllenhaal in it and Ryan Reynolds about the Mars life? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just called Life. Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine this. You've seen the trailer for it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now start thinking about the symbiote.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what you see on the screen is this nasty oil-looking stuff. So people are like, I guess there was a rumor that was they were saying this is going to be a prequel to the Venom movie. But but yes, be prepared, man. The Sony is planning on trying to do a Venom movie.
Well, I mean, I'm down because, listen, if they get together with Marvel like they're doing with the Spider-Man reboot, then I'm all about it because, like I said, we didn't really have a fair representation of these characters until, you know, Spider-Man came around, and then it was a pretty good representation.
Yeah,
they did good. Tobey Maguire did good. There were some things in it that were like. But then Marvel says, you know what? Screw this. We're doing it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just started blowing everybody out of the water. And, they've constantly, constantly hit home runs with everything they've done. You know, with even a character as obscure as Scott Lang as Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it into a hit, you know, and I don't care what anybody says. It was a hit, man. Everybody loved it. You know, people who didn't know a Marvel character from, you know, their butt from a hole in the ground, you know, basically.
Yeah.
They said, you know, that was a really funny movie. That was really good. They did a good job on that. And then you're kind of like, oh, wow, you know, people are digging this. So you've got all these characters that are coming to life, and they're picking out the perfect people to play them. So we've got all this, you know, all that going on, and then all of a sudden Marvel says, you know what, we're going to start doing, you know, a TV series with Netflix. So that in itself is just incredible. So we're like, all right, so what are you going to start with? Daredevil. Well, the last Daredevil we had was Ben Affleck. You see, you can only go up from here. Don't get me wrong. I want to give Daredevil, that movie, some credit, because you didn't have a whole lot to go on back then with Daredevil, but there were some good points to that, in my opinion. A lot of people would be like, "You're crazy, Ronnie." Maybe, but at least at least it gave us something. but with this, Marvel has really opened up a whole different world with these movies. How far can you go? You can go as far as it'll take you.
That's right.
So I guess the main point I want to get off of this rant is, lay the crap off of Iron Fist, man. Just enjoy it for what it is.
True. And,
it's fun. It's a kung fu flick. There's a lot of magic and mysticism in it. So don't try to bring your real world problems into something that's supposed to be there to get your mind off your real world problems.
Yeah.
I've always been an advocate in saying that I don't think politics has any place in Hollywood, because a lot of times people, tend to stick their foot in their mouths, which I think has happened quite a bit lately. We've had, such a controversial year with politics. I think, people just need to have fun. And you can really do that if you let yourself with this show.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%. I hope people do not listen to the critics and give this thing a shot. That's what needs to be done. That is what needs to be done.
Well, so I guess we kind of did have an agenda in talking about Iron Fist, but
Yeah, we got a story to tell. We're going to tell the story. We done told the story. Absolutely. Hey, by the way, we did have a person in the chat. I always forget to go to check out the chats. We have a person. We had a person in a chat.
Oh.
Yeah, the way you do it. Okay, this is. Okay, anybody out there has a podcast? Here you go. We've just recently
figured
this out.
The same way we do it, off the cuff.
Yeah.
I think I'll go ahead and start this now, kind of deal.
When you get out of, you actually have to pull up the episode via the YouTube player. So like you're going to go watch it yourself, and then it actually has a live chat on the side. So anyway, Remy was listening there. I don't think he's listening anymore because I've typed a few things and he hasn't come back in. But regardless, Remy, well, he said he had a podcast edit. And I was like, well, yeah.
Remy, love us.
Anyway, it's cool to see people hop in on the chat. We know they're listening, at least when we check it. Because I've just learned how to do that not too long ago. And still, every time I get involved in a podcast, I forget to go look. So anyway, well, any other topics that you want to bring up? I can go to the internets. I can pull up stuff. We can call it a night. How do you want to do it?
No, let's do one more thing.
Okay.
There's a game that I've been playing, brand new game out on the market, pretty brand new. It is called Ghost Recon Wildlands. Okay. I know this is like changing gears completely. But Ghost Recon Wildlands, I am a big gamer and I like first person shooters. Not a big fan of third person. I played Skyrim for years. I even got the new Skyrim, the updated Skyrim. Are you familiar with at all with, what Skyrim is and what kind of game it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I really wish I had the opportunity to play all of the Elder Scrolls games. Those games come out at a time when just I don't have the time. And I've made my way up on Skyrim. I remember getting Skyrim. I bought it off of eBay. And I just remember it showing up. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And then like three years later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still playing. Like I'm at level 40 something or whatever.
Yeah.
I love the game. I mean, my goodness, do I love, I love those games. But Ghost Recon, I've played a Ghost Recon game.
Well, Ghost Recon, is all third person. Except for when you go into aiming mode. But your past Ghost Recons have been third person shooters. Mm-hmm. When I mean third person, you actually are standing on the outside looking over your character's shoulder. So I'm a big first person shooter guy. Even when I'm playing Skyrim, what I was saying is you have a choice of first or second, you know, first or third player or person. So I always pick first person, and you know, I'm traveling along, and you know, I have to see it in front of me to really get into it. That's just a little, I guess you could say, what's the word I'm looking
preference?
For? Preference, but I was going to say a little, yeah, we'll just go with preference because apparently I'm gone insane tonight. Words, don't know what I'm saying. Words are hard.
Tell me, sir.
Yeah. So my preference has always been first person. Well, Ghost Recon is a third person shooter. And I was like, yeah, we'll give it a shot. So, if you've ever played, you know, these sandbox games like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, Red Dead Redemption, Skyrim, you know, basically, Watch Dogs and Watch Dogs 2, and the latest one from Tom Clancy was The Division. So you've got a lot of, you know, these sandbox games that allow you to go all over creation and, you know, get into these adventures and do these missions and side missions and all this other stuff. So that's what Ghost Recon is. Ghost Recon Wildlands is you're part of CIA. You run a 4-man group and you go into Bolivia to fight the drug cartels. And so you go in and you run all these missions just to find out, you know, who the head of the cartel is and what, you know, what they're up to. And you find out they're smuggling drugs through energy drinks, you know, in some parts of it. And there's another guy that the cartel hires to get rid of their dead bodies for them. But he's got the mind of a child. And that's why they hired him, because, you know, he's got the mind of a child, so he'll just follow orders and not, you know, not question them. So he dumps all these bodies into a barrel, and he pours lye on them, and they dissolve. So they call him the stew maker.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly.
Big old stinky stew.
Big old stinky stew. But, you know, and it's just this intricate storyline where you have these characters that are coming to life. This game, I'm a big military game fan anyway, you know, Call of Duty, Battlefield, the latest, you know, one of the latest games that I could not put down was Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
Just some craziness going on with these games. This game blew me away. I mean, I put it in, and I was like waiting for it to download. The sheer size of the map is just, I've never played, you know, other than Skyrim, I've never played a game with a map this big.
Wow.
So you have to take down these cartel lieutenants before you can get to the main guy. So before you get to the cartel lieutenant, you have to take down their entire, you know, infrastructure of all these people that, you know, that are underneath them. So I believe I've taken down 10 people so far and have yet to take down one of the main, you know, guys to get to the big guy. And I have 15 Ryback? More to go. And not Ryback. You know, nobody wants Ryback. Ryback doesn't want Ryback.
Take them out.
Yeah. I've fought 10 different people in this game, and I have 15 more to go.
Wow.
And that makes me giddy, because I enjoy a game that has replayability, that'll keep me busy, and this game has it all. I mean, it's crazy.
Do you complete a lot of things? I mean, are you just casual kind of, okay, I'll play it.
It depends on the game.
Okay.
It solely depends on the game.
Battlefield 1.
I know you said you
completed it.
Twice.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes your internet's down and you need something to do. The storyline in Battlefield 1 isn't huge. It's still a good storyline, but it's not a big, you know, it's not a long story. Mm-hmm. So, that's not a complaint, you know, because Battlefield, they know what side of their bread is buttered, you know, what side of their bread is buttered on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, online gaming going on with Battlefield. So they just kind of put their money into, it felt like they put their money into, the online experience, which is great, you know, and that's what I do. I get on Battlefield. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to play Battlefield tonight? And they're like, yeah. So you get on there and you join team and you fight the other team and, you know, you have fun, you laugh. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a big, you know, with Ghost Recon Wildlands, there's a big online experience with this as well. And in fact, you can't play it unless you're online, to my knowledge. So they want you to compete with your friends, or play with your friends, not compete against them. They want the four-man team to be you and three other friends, which I'm playing, you know, I've played a lot of it by myself, which you have AI being your other three members of your team. You know, sometimes I prefer that because my friends tend to get me in trouble when they play these, you know, trying to complete these missions. just being silly. Mm-hmm. So let me put it this way. You can do a three-man sync shot. Basically, you hide in the bushes or you hide in the dark, and you see four people, you know, four, you know, cartel sicarios. And so your team gets into position. You point them out, one, two, three, and you take the fourth one. When they say, okay, we're ready, you take the first shot and they down the other three and nobody knows where you are because you have silenced weapons or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool. You know, if you can do this, if you can line this up with your friends, you're really doing something, you know, you're having, you know, this is a lot of fun. So I started playing with my friend TJ. TJ's awesome. It's hysterical to play these games with him, you know, just because he's very good at them. And, but not only that, but he's just fun to play these games with. Mm-hmm. So we get on there with TJ and another guy named Chris. So we look at it, you know, not look at each other, but we're talking to each other and we're like, are we going to take this seriously? Are we going to like really do this? Or are we just going to go in, run and gun? On this, and I was like, they were like, let's try to at least complete the missions. So everybody was like, ah, okay, so we'll try. So I think it was Chris and I. We were, you know, we had our characters down on their belly, and they're crawling, and they're doing their thing. And we come up, we got our silenced weapons, and we're checking everything out, and we spot out, you know, three or four guys, and it's this military presence that's in Bolivia that you also have to dodge, you know, not just the drug runners, you know, you have to dodge this military presence as well. Mm-hmm. So it's this big compound. So we're supposed to go in and steal this file and leave. And, so we're running up. I was like, all right, so there's one guy and there's another guy. And Chris is like, yeah, I've got two over here. And we're lighting up and, you know, they light up purple, whereas the Sicarios light up orange. So there's like, you know, a lot of purple presence, you know, where we are. And we're like, so, you know, what's our next move? And we're like, where's TJ? TJ, what are you doing, man? And all of a sudden, in a Leroy Jenkins moment.
Oh, no.
We're on the ground, and you just hear TJ laughing, and he lets out a yee-haw or something, and he flies by us on a dirt bike. He found a dirt bike somewhere on the map, and he flies by us, and he just drives right into the center of everything, and then the whole compound just glows purple, just hear guns and explosions, and TJ goes, well, I'm down. Well, yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
And then they bring out a tank. Like this armored personnel vehicle or whatever, it's got a turret on it, and it's shooting explosive shells at us. We're like, dude, what happened? We're going to take this serious. And we're crying laughing because it's just we're laying here and we're just like, yeah, so there's, you know, we're not whispering, of course. We're like, yeah, two guys here. What's going on? Hey, where's TJ? Whoa, and there he goes in. We're like, okay, there's TJ.
Nice.
So there's that element. There's the element of actually, you know, teamwork. There's the element of it just being a phenomenal game. Whenever you go into aiming mode, it goes into first person. So if you take aim on somebody down the sights, it's a first person shooter as well. Okay. You have to find these things called Kingslayer files, which gives you more information on the people you're hunting in this section of the map. You can do two or three missions in one map and skip over and do two or three missions in the other. It's just this open map. To me, it wasn't anything I was expecting. It's just a phenomenal game. So if you have a chance to play it, I really recommend Ghost Recon Wildlands. It has been such a fun game. It's given me, since I've got it, I had to make myself stop, picking up the controller as soon as I got home from work. As soon as I got in, I have to stop myself. I want to play this game. So, I spend some time with my dog, because I don't want to neglect him over a video game and everything. And by 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm like, I'm really itching to play this game. And there's something wrong with me. It is that good of a game, in my opinion.
That's good. So, that's the kind of games that, I mean, when you want to play them and they're on your mind, you're like, man, I cannot wait to get home and give this a shot.
Oh, absolutely.
Those are the good ones, dude. Those are the good ones. I would imagine here in about a year or so, I'll actually own my first Xbox One. It's on the agenda, but I cannot even fathom what the games are going to be like and how fun it's going to be.
I know.
I remember, first, speaking of first person shooters, I turned Caleb loose on Call of Duty when he was like three.
Did you?
Well, when he was three. And okay. I put him online. I was like, here you go. Don't put let's not listen to the people cussing you. So we'll kind of mute that. But yeah. I'll never forget, man, like the kid pulled off three kills in a row at 3 years old. And I was like, of course, it wasn't just like, here's the controller, go for it. And he did that. It took him a while to get there.
But right.
I watched the kid. It's amazing at how young these kids can pick stuff up like that and just be like, man. Here you go. Here's my care package, Dad. What do I do now? Well, don't get
it. I don't know. I've never made it this far.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand what's going on here, Caleb. But yeah, man, I used to love playing first person shooters. We used to have, when I first got my Xbox, man, it was everybody that I worked with from the arcade. Even though we were all working at separate jobs, we all decided, okay, well, hey, let's get together and we'll play Modern Warfare. And, we just sit there and play for like hours on end at the end of the night. And we probably did that for like, I don't know, a good year or so. And then everybody started getting different games, and then you got to have the other game that the other guys got in order to play, and it was kind of hard to wrangle all that. But somehow we all ended up with Modern Warfare 2, and there were some interesting games that were played. You talk about the guy whizzing by on the bike. I can remember playing, I think it was just Call of Duty 2, and Decker was telling me that people were flying on horses. Somebody had hacked the game or done something crazy. There was either a hack or a glitch or something. And if you remember Call of Duty 2, I don't know if you've played that or not. That all takes place back in like World War – I think it's World War One or World War Two, one or the other.
World War Two, I think.
Is it two? Okay. So either way, you didn't have vehicles. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. But then all of a sudden people are watching. People are sitting there playing and a guy flies by on a flying horse. Something's up. this is happening. Yeah, it was happening in that game. I remember Decker saying, I don't know what happened today, but we were sitting here playing and there were people flying by. And anyway, I miss those days. I'm glad you have the opportunity to continue to use your Xbox One to play those awesome games that they have out there. So I'll definitely keep this one in mind. Like I said, I have one I think I had one Ghost Recon game that came with the Xbox that I bought secondhand. The guy just gave it to me, and I can't remember which one it is. Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm at a loss to say what it was. But anyway, was there just a Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon?
Yes, I think there was. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna pull it up and I'll tell you which one it is. But yeah, it.
There's a mess of them. Yeah,
I liked it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Awkward. It's one of those things where
What?
Sorry, I pulled up something here and it was just. I heard some very ominous music come on, so it was the website, so that was kind of terrifying, but I digress. it's one of those things where, like, I've never really been one to buy the Tom Clancy games, but The Division and this one have really, I mean, it was like, it started out with The Division. Mm-hmm. It was a stepping stone to this one for me. So The Division is a completely different take on everything. You're in the middle of an outbreak on I'm not even sure what it's like a disease or something in the middle of New York, and you're part of this like kind of like the Minutemen, you know, a secret division of the military where you live your life, but if something like, you know, a cataclysmic event happens, you're called into action. So you're part of the division. So you roam the streets of New York. And you stop these people from trying to take over. And then there's the Dark Zone, which is a much harder, you know, part of the map. And you go in and you find weapons, you complete missions and things like that. And that's completely online.
Oh,
completely,
wow.
Totally online, yeah. So you do a lot better if you actually play with friends. So, I mean, trust me, I know, because I've been gunned down a lot in the streets of New York. You know? But you can actually go player versus player in the Dark Zone, and there are people that hang out at the doors of the Dark Zone just to rob you of what you got.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so this guy didn't realize when I was playing one night, I was like, I'm just going to step in the Dark Zone and see what's going on by myself. And I had, like, you can carry two primary weapons and a pistol. So I had the shotgun. So I walked through the door with the shotgun out, and he started attacking me, but he had a weaker, you know, I had better body armor and better guns. And he started, and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's attacking me. I turned around and I shot him once with the shotgun, and it took him down to almost no health. And I was like, oh, you didn't expect this to happen, did you? And he started running. So I shot him again, and I just took all his stuff, and he sent me a message saying, you jerk. And I'm like, you're the one hiding, shooting people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so, but, it, you know, these games, you know, are a lot of fun when you get, you know, especially when you play with friends and, you know, laugh and crack up and carry on. Kind of reminds me of playing GoldenEye back in the day.
Oh, like, I never had the opportunity to do that a whole lot when I was
I didn't play it a whole lot, but yeah.
Well, Golden Age Dave was the guy he was the guy that brought in the 64 to the college. When I was going to OU, Golden Age Dave was lucky enough to have the 64. And of course, when he got it, he only had one controller, but we remedied that pretty quickly. However, GoldenEye was not one that we really played a whole lot. It was all about Mario Kart or Mario Kart. Boy, I wish I could tell you the amount of games that we played on Mario Kart or WWF No Mercy. Yes. Mm-hmm. No Mercy. But we didn't really get into the first person shooters too much. And boy, things were different back then. All on one TV, four, you know, you had your four, you had to divide the team. You had to divide the screen up by four because it went up to four players, right?
Yeah.
On GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm. You had to divide the screen in four different. Yeah, you basically coined the term screen watching because you could tell where your friends were by looking at their screen. Yeah,
that is right.
So, so I've always had a thing for military games and movies and things like that. Stop me if you think we should do this at a different day, but I'm just going to go on. I was a big G.I. Joe fan in the day.
Yeah.
And were you a big G.I. Joe fan, weren't you?
Oh, yes, dude. Absolutely.
We've talked about this before and just how, you know, when G.I. Joe started out, you had, of course, Duke and Flint and Scarlet and Lady J and Cover Girl. And you had all these cool, you know, code names, this elite force, you know. That's kind of like Wildlands. You're part of this elite force. You know, they call in for they call the American forces for backup, and they send these four guys in. They're like, you know, where's our backup? And like, we are the backup. And I'm like, heck yeah, let's blow some stuff up, you know. And so G.I. Joe was always kind of like that because they were, you know, the real American hero, and they were the elite force of you know, fighters that came together to stop the terrorist, you know, organization Cobra. So they had all these cool nicknames, you know, or not nicknames, but code names. And you had Shipwreck. That's a really cool name. I don't care who you are. He was the guy that was in the Navy. And then you had their helicopter pilot, Wild Bill, who carried, you know, twin revolvers. And it was just really cool names. But as you go along in the history of G.I. Joe, these names started to get a little silly as you went along. As you may very well know, Jesse, it kind of started with their resident ninja, Quick Kick.
Quick Kick?
Quick Kick. He was always like, he was an interesting character. And as a kid, I always liked that stuff. You know, he had swords and nunchucks and throwing stars. And I was like, that's really cool. You know, not as cool as Duke. He had the rifle and these other guys with pistols and all this stuff. So I was like, Quick Kick is cool. But when you got to the comic book and the cartoon, he was your resident movie buff, and he always talked like Jimmy Cagney.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
I was like, that's an interesting character. Where did they come up with that?
That's not Quick Kick, for Pete's sake.
I mean, wow. Okay, but then you had, you know, Cobra Commander and Destro and Major Blood and the Baroness and Storm Shadow. That's a cool name. Snake Eyes. That's another cool name. It was a G.I. Joe. That was G.I. Joe's counterpart to Storm Shadow. They were bitter enemies, mortal enemies. But as you went along, you started coming up with other names that just didn't really jive with the others. So right now, thank you to Absolute Serious on Blogspot. We're going to look at 10 worst G.I. Joe character names real quick.
Oh, please. Can you send me the link? Is there any
absolutely,
way
I can? Absolutely.
Because so, I'm just going through the wiki and like looking at a few that are like, I just, if this is not on the list, it's got to be. There's a guy called Ice Cream Soldier.
Oh my gosh. Why did you do that?
Ice Cream Soldier. Flamethrower. Is he on this list?
We'll get to him.
Oh boy,
I think he's on the list. So you just start to run out of stuff, I guess, and you're like, you know, just throw some bull crap against the wall and see what sticks.
Yes.
So Jesse, I sent you that link. So we're gonna start up whenever you click on it. We're going to start at number 10, and we're going to start with the G.I. Joe known as Backstop. Why would you ever name Backstop. A G.I. Joe after the wire fence that protects the crowd from foul balls at a baseball game?
So, okay, do we have any idea what this – do we have an idea of what this guy did?
It says on this website – the guy was selected for America's Elite Counter-Terror Strike Force, and he chose Backstop as his name. His file card said that he played hockey as well as wrestled and boxed in high school. Not a single one which involves a backstop.
Yeah,
no, that's one knows. I have no clue why.
He's like
number
the
nine,
all-around sports guy. Okay.
Yeah, but nothing with a backstop. No softball. No baseball. No t-ball. Nothing. No backstop. So I'm not even sure what he actually did. What his primary weapons were, or anything like that. Number nine, Ghost Rider. I'm not kidding you. Ghost Rider. One word. G.I. Joe's line of comic books originally was produced by Marvel. Guess what other comic Marvel produces? Yeah, that's right. Ghost Rider.
And then they, jeez. There's nothing that looks like, there's not a single thing on this figure that makes me go, oh yeah, I can see the correlation here. Nope. Right. Nope.
Nope. All right, and number eight. This one cracks me up. Dice.
Ooh.
Dice is his name, D-I-C-E. Like Andrew Dice Clay, but that's not where they got it. Dice was one half of a pair of Cobra Ninjas. The other one was named Slice.
Dice and Slice.
That's right. Slice and Dice. Now, Slice gets to slide because his characters fought with katanas. So he might actually, you know, slice things. Dice, however, had bo staff skills. He wasn't dicing crap. It's a cool looking figure too.
I wonder if this was in the line. See, I collected. I still got a bunch of them upstairs, and I know they did a line of ninjas. I'm trying to see if this came out in the line. The ninja,
like ninja
ninjas,
force or whatever.
Yeah, the few ninjas I have. I have this really cool. He looked awesome. I mean, if you look at him, it's kind of a, I don't know, not effeminate, but I mean, he's got like a hot pink hockey mask, and he's got a. He's actually one of the few Joes that have hair, where he has a ponytail, and I always thought he was the coolest. But there were that Ninja Force because their waist was locked, like, and I think this. Yeah. If you look at this character, it looks like his waist is locked as well. But interesting, good old Dice. I don't recall ever seeing that figure, by the way. So that's
Dice.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that one. Actually, these first three I've never seen before. Now we get to number seven.
I had number seven as well. Backstop and Ghost Rider did not have Dice. I don't think I had, but I knew about him. But number seven is none other than the infamous Road Pig.
Road Pig, dude, I remember. Yeah. Lot about this character.
I do too. He was like very soft spoken, and when he was soft spoken, he would like quote Shakespeare and everything. But if you ticked him off, he'd be like Road Pig angry and just punch things. I remember that.
You remember his weapon?
Now it was just a cinder block on a
stick.
On an axe handle. Why? I mean, like, these other guys are coming at you with, like, rifles that shoot lasers, and you got a cinder block on a stick.
Imagine him sitting there and be like, I need a weapon that imposes and intimidates my enemies. And he's like, grabs the duct tape and starts taping a tank cinder block to the end of a stick. I mean, it looked scary, and I can remember that. I can remember that weapon to this day. Goes with Road Pig, and I've never really thought about how ridiculous that really is that you did something like that.
When I was a kid, I always kept the weapons with the figures.
Yep.
So he always had his cinder block stick, but I'd always take it out of his hand and throw it to the side and give him a gun.
Please do.
Yeah. And the only reason he would ever pick up the cinder block baseball bat was that he would go one-on-one with somebody. You know, they would be like, oh, we're out of ammo. We have to, you know how you're a kid, you know, you have to fight. So one of them would get like, you know, I'd get a Q-tip and make torches out of it or whatever. And, you know, they'd carry a torch, you know, with it or, you know, you get something, you know. I always remember collecting those toothpicks that were shaped like swords that came in sandwiches.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They fit perfectly in G.I. Joe's hands.
Yeah.
So if they went against him, they would have one of those. So I had a whole baggie full of those things, man. My grandmother would save them for me.
Let me ask you a question. Cause on this figure, it takes me back. Yeah. Did you ever take your G.I. Joes apart and like do Frankensteins with them? Like create new characters?
The only time I ever did that was if they fell apart.
Oh, I did that with a lot. And if I remember right, I think I took Road Pig's legs and I took, what was the leader of?
Did you leave off that fancy cod piece he has on there?
I think it came with it. But I had Globulus's upper torso. And all,
oh, like, wow.
Yes, Globulus, you know, he was, oh, all he was just an upper torso and then the big snake tail.
Snake, yeah. Yep.
Well, I took him off and gave him – I gave him Rogue Pig's legs. Man, I can remember Frankenstein and so many of my G.I. Joes. And
you pulled a Little honest, Mermaid with him, didn't you?
I should have never done anything with him. I mean, yeah. I'm sure they ruined the value. Of course, what happened to your G.I. Joes? Don't tell me they ended up like the He-Man.
No, He-Man is still in the attic.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It was Star Wars that got thrown away.
That's right.
No, everything else from that moment on, from the sheer and utter guilt that was felt from the Star Wars, they let me keep everything else.
Like, don't throw away that piece
don't
of paper.
Anything,
don't throw anything away.
It'll break his heart. And, you know, the fallout that came from that years later, you know, they were right.
Oh, God.
Number six. It's not just a movie title. It is a G.I. Joe Super Trooper.
Oh, this was a send-away, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
For some reason, I'm thinking it was a send-away. I could be wrong. But I remember how flashy it looks. And I think you had to send away a few things. But Super Trooper sounds like
a... Other than the fact that he looked like Captain Power.
He does look like Captain Power.
Yep.
Well, the one figure of that series that I actually did own was Captain Power. And yeah, he had a pretty cool gun.
Everybody had Captain Power, but nothing else. Because I had Captain Power, but I had nothing else from that line.
Oh,
of course, my grandfather would go to something city, and I can't remember the name of the store, but it was just like this big store where you could, you know, you just, it was like a Kmart or something like that.
Circus City?
No. It was a local owned place, and I can't remember the name of it. Had a big old ramp going up to it. I remember that. They tore it down, but he would find random toys in there, and he would, you know, this has a gun. You know, Ronnie might like this, and he would buy it for me. I think that's where I got Captain Power. Number five, Robo Joe.
Robo Joe.
It's just, wow. I don't even know what he's supposed to be. It's like an oversized body with a tiny little head on it.
I have a couple of these figures. Like
exoskeleton.
I did not have Robo Joe, but I did have a couple of these figures. There's, if I remember right, this is, I want to say these are like astronaut figures, and that's potentially what's going on here. I don't know, but I can tell you. Go ahead.
The blogger that wrote about this said, so what was this character's story? Well, he was made into a cyborg in order to survive injuries inflicted during an attack by Cobra. He joined G.I. Joe. So he wasn't a part of G.I. Joe before this. He joined G.I. Joe and picked the most stunningly obvious code name possible. Robo Joe. I remember that. They let anybody in. They were like, oh, hey, kid with the, you know, that tripped commander, you know, with his jump rope. You want to join G.I. Joe? He's like, yeah, okay, you're jump rope Joe.
You are jump rope.
Yeah, Joe. Jump rope.
Nice. Yeah, this figure, I actually have a bat. You remember the bats? The androids? Yeah,
those were cool.
Yeah, I have one that it's just good, man. It's completely black and white, almost the exact same. Just the same figure, different color scheme, and of course a different head.
Yep.
And then I had a Destro, same thing. Look just like this. I think I still got those two upstairs. Yeah, buddy. Boy, they were pulling out all the stops, just like you said. They hit a line. They hit a point where it's like, what do we do next? Oh, I don't
know.
Robo Joe. I mean, one of the coolest things I think they ever did was Street Fighter figures.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Man, that was one of the coolest things I ever saw.
Blanca was a little weird. Balrog. I remember that, but Balrog, Dhalsim,
yep.
Ken, Ryu, what is his name? The main bad guy from Street Fighter,
M. Bison.
Yeah. It was actually horribly portrayed in the movie, but the whole movie was horrible. Raul Julia as the main bad guy, really? Okay. So, but yeah, they did a phenomenal job with that.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead.
With the toy line, not the movie.
I got you. All right,
number four, Toll Booth.
You were talking about this guy when we were talking about, or it was either you or Josh. I can't remember. I don't think Josh was into. Josh wasn't into G.I. Joe, was he?
I don't think so. I just can't get over how bad this is. Toll Booth.
Toll Booth. The bridge. The bridge layer.
Yeah, he basically drove around this vehicle that laid a bridge down. And they're like, thanks. What do we call you? He's like, oh, just call me Toll Booth. And they're like, all right, Dave, have a good one. We're not calling you that because it's silly.
We ain't calling you that. Oh, goodness.
So, all right. Number three, my favorite on the list, Captain Gridiron.
Wow.
No one likes a Captain Picard. Everybody likes Captain Picard. Captain Hook, Captain Kirk, Captain Crunch. And it says they're all overbearing and overexposed. Not really. So tagging stupid football term on the end, that's not helping. If they had to just left it at Gridiron, they'd be fine, which I agree with. They could have left it at Gridiron. But they had to shove past the boundaries of reasonability and add the title and the face mask. I think my soul just died a little. I remember this figure because I had this figure. Captain Gridiron had the face mask and everything, had the football helmet. And he had a gun that shot football grenades.
Oh, come on.
I kid you not, Jesse. I dare you to Google it. Football grenades. That's number two, Colonel Courage.
I have this figure. I legitimately have Colonel Courage. And he is – I've seen him. He's laying around here. I think the kids were just playing with him a couple days ago. I am legitimately not kidding you, man. This guy, I own him. If I remember, he came with a big – there for a while, they had these figures that came with these huge backpacks that had, like, five buttons on them, so they would all have a saying. Now, I don't know. I don't remember if this one had a saying or not, but yes.
Yeah, it did. You pushed the button, and it said, I suck.
Colonel Courage. I honestly did not remember him being – named that. I wonder if as the Joes became, as they became a later in the toy line, I don't think I paid a dang bit of attention to the names.
No, I just looked for cool weapons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just like I was talking about that ninja guy with the hair. Don't know his name. I have no clue. You know, unless it was the first or second generation of Joes that came out, or somebody that was featured on the cartoon. You know, it was usually goes by, but Colonel Courage.
Oh my goodness. all right. So before we move on, because I thought he was a part of this list. We're going to give our honorable mention to Ice Cream Soldier.
Ice Cream Soldier, who is a flamethrower commando.
Do you remember the flamethrower commando named Barbecue?
Yes, yes, clearly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's the same figure. Same figure, only with an orange and yellow color scheme.
Why and they call named him
Ice Cream Soldier?
Why? Okay, there has to be something on the wiki that explains why. His real name is Tom Henry Reagan, and his rank is that of Sergeant E5. Ice Cream Soldier was born in Providence, Rhode Island, and was first released as an action figure in 1994 as part of the Battle Corps line, which I think is the one you're talking about with the big what's-his-face that we just looked at with the big old bulky suit or whatever. The entire mold was reused in 2002 for the Shock Viper figure. His primary military specialty is Fire Operations Expert. His second military specialty is Barbecue Chef. His code name is designed to cause enemy troops to underestimate him. Oh, well, okay. Sure.
Yeah, that outfit does just fine.
They die of laughter, actually. He comes walking in.
All right. Get the guns he came with. A flamethrower, a submachine gun, a handgun, a machete, and a missile launcher. Pick one, dude.
Jeez Louise.
Gosh, come on. I mean, like, I'm all about being prepared, but, you know, you got a flamethrower and a missile launcher.
I was incorrect. I'm looking at the Battle Corps figure now. It's probably the one you were looking at, and that's definitely not the blocky suit that we were talking about.
Yeah.
That's definitely different.
All right, number one on the list, and this number one takes one. The cake. Skidmark.
Oh, wow.
You really think that anybody's like was going to choose the name Skidmark the same as the stains in underwear? If you this dude,
I mean, think about it. Okay, he gets a code name, and he's probably picking like, okay, I want a cool code name, and he's picking them left and right. And they're like, no, that's not you, man. That's not you. Oh no, we got one for you. Skidmark. And for the rest of his G.I. Joe career, he just cries. cries.
I mean, you could almost be like, you know, they were being cruel. They're like, no, like skidmark, like when you peel out, you burn, you know, car, that you leave a skidmark. No. They might as well just call him Poop Stain for his entire military career. What's your name? What's your code name? Poop Stain. Oh, hey, Skidmark. What's up, man?
His alias is Accidental Shart.
I pooed a little. What's his name? Hey, who's on watch night? I pooed a little. Oh, yeah. That guy.
Is he still crying?
That's why we put him on watch, because he doesn't sleep. He just weeps openly.
He's not a sleeper. He's a weeper. Skidmark. Wonderful stuff.
Truly a potpourri episode tonight. Jesse, thank you so much for sacrificing Iron Hand and watching
Iron,
Legion.
Good old Iron Hands.
Iron Hand, hi-ya. So, Jesse, tell us what you got going on, man.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hearing this probably Friday on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network and whenever Ronnie gets it up here on the Screaming Boy podcast. Listen, we did a show on Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, which was a 12-issue series from Marvel that came out. So on source material on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network, we divided it up into two parts. Part one has already aired, and by Monday, that was Monday the 20th of March. So the 27th of March, you can catch part two, our epic finale of Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, which was a lot of fun. We get into quite a conversation about pronouncing.
Let's stop Jenkins.
Pronouncing things and then using our own nomenclature for quite a few characters and artists and creators. But yeah, you could check that out. And like I said, we did the one where we talked about the issue, and then I threw up our Netflix conversation at the end of that one. So if you get a chance, you can go back and check that out. So other than that,
after reading Iron Fist,
I think it worked out to be a good primer. If you haven't watched the series, you can pop on there and listen to that, or at least it felt good to us. You could read the 12 issues and be kind of, I would say, familiar with who you're going to see in the Iron Fist series. So that was kind of nice. Well, Netflix, that is. But regardless, now I don't have any idea what Mark Radulich has. Just give me one second. If I could pull up the calendar, what we have planned coming up for source material. I've been sitting here saying I need to get on the calendar and get everything ready so I have an idea. But 27th is the second part of Iron Fist. So we don't have anything planned for the 1st. Of April, from what I can see. And the 8th of April looks like we'll be discussing, I don't know if we're recording this or if we're going to be discussing this. No, this is going to air. Guardians of the Galaxy. So we need to find Guardians of the Galaxy. No, that's May. What am I doing? Tell me what I'm doing.
Well, you're obviously not.
No, I'm not. I am not the scheduler, master controller. I don't have anything scheduled for the 3rd and the 10th. 17th, we have Darkness Saga. So anyway, and we're recording Pax Romana at some point there. Folks, I'll get a schedule out there. Just go check out the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network on the old Facebook. Give that a like. Stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We talk MMA. We talk metal. We talk movies. And we talk comic books. And we also host this great podcast right here, the Screaming Boy Podcast. So give that a like. Stay up on top of everything that comes out. You can find me at Stiznarchy on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. And you can also, with Source Material does have a Facebook page. So if you are interested in kind of staying up on top of some of the stuff we tweet out here, go for it. Give it a like, follow it. And I think that is all.
Very awesome. You can find us on just about any and all social media. Find us on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. Find us on Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast. We have a Snapchat, but I believe Snapchat is of the devil, so we don't use it that much. really, Ronnie? Yes, really. It's just about anywhere you can find us, we'll be there. You can find the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the Radio Lichen Broadcasting Network. So please go on any of those fine sources. Click the subscribe button. Click the 5-star button. We would appreciate it. If you want to leave us a shout-out or if you have something to if you have a rebuttal or you agree with us on anything that, you know, that we said tonight, please, you know, email us. We want to hear from you. info@screamingboy.com. You can find our website. We are under construction at the moment. We will be updating the website once again very, very, very soon. So it's www.screamingboy.com. We really want to hear from you. We enjoy hearing from people. So give us a shout out. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. That's pretty much it. Jesse, you got any final anything else to say?
Skidmark.
Skidmark. We're out. Poop stain.